This is Grand Finale, co-host of the Drive Time Radio Show, and you are listening to WGXC Agra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. You've tuned in during our Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we are deciding as a station if we can stay on a big tower with our 90.7 FM tenor, or if we take it down and abandon FM broadcasting for just streaming services only. We'd like to stay on the tower, and we just need a few more donations and a few more sustaining supporters, people to go locally and donate 17 cents a day or just $5 a month at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. We get a couple more folks to do that, become sustaining supporters, and we can make a commitment to stay on the big tower with our 90.7 FM antenna, beaming out 3,300 watts of community voices on the local airwaves. Please go to wgxc.org/donate and help today. Today we're going to hear an excerpt of some performances from New Mexico-based drummer Tetsuya Nakatani and local drummer Bobby Previtt from last night at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Plus, we'll hear the local news and the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin finishes singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news.
On Sunday, October 9th, turn out or tune in to a performance of Elvis Perkins in Deerland at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Elvis Perkins in Deerland is Columbia County resident Elvis Perkins playing with Nicholas Kinsey, Brigham Bro, and Wyndham Garnett. They don't play too often out in the Hudson Valley, but they have played at the Newport Folk Festival and the Primavera Sound Festival. This is their first Hudson Valley appearance in a decade. So turn out or tune in. There'll be a live webcast at wgxc.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday, October 9th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henning's Local Test Kitchen in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Raymond Pignon is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County communities of Austerlitz, Hudson, and New Lebanon have endorsed the state's Climate Action Council scoping plan. Officials in all three municipalities declared their support for the plan, which calls for, one, the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 40% below 1990 levels by 2030, two, accomplishing net zero emissions by 2050, 3, meeting 70% of electricity needs from renewable sources by 2030. 4, meeting 100% of electricity needs from zero emissions resources by 2040. And 5, ensuring a just and equitable transition that leaves no one behind and dedicating up to 40% of the benefits of clean energy investments to disadvantaged communities. The new Lebanon Town Board unanimously adopted a resolution emphasizing a halt to investments in fossil fuel producers. The measure also calls for support of proposed advanced building codes that would improve the energy efficiency of new buildings. The Austerlitz resolution notes that more than half of what New Yorkers now spend on energy leaves the state, mostly to purchase fossil fuels, and local communities would be better served by keeping energy spending primarily within the local economy. The measure was approved by the Austerlitz Town Board on a vote of 3-2. In Hudson, Mayor Kamal Johnson signed a unanimously adopted support resolution which, quote, affirms the critical importance of meeting the emissions and equity goals of the Climate Act, which will help mitigate dangerous warming while delivering the additional benefits of improving public health, economic opportunities, agricultural land and open space protection, and quality of life for the people of Hudson, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
New York State of Politics reports that on October 13th, lawyers for Attorney General Letitia James filed a motion for a preliminary injunction to stop Donald Trump's company from selling or transferring assets without court approval. Lawyers for James say that shortly before she filed a lawsuit against the Republican in September, Trump incorporated a new company in Delaware named Trump Organization LLC in an effort to avert scrutiny. Lawyers for James wrote in their October 13th court filing, and I quote, "Beyond just the continuation of its prior fraud, the Trump Organization now appears to be taking steps to restructure its business to avoid existing responsibilities under New York law," end quote. Trump's attorney, Alina Haber, said no court oversight is necessary. Haber said, and I quote, "We have repeatedly provided assurance in writing that Trump Organization has no intention of doing anything improper. This is simply another stunt which Ms. James hopes will aid her failing political campaign," end quote. In the lawsuit James filed last month, James's office accused Trump of regularly misleading banks and others about how much assets such as his golf courses and other real estates were worth. You can read the full story at New York State of Politics.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Ulster County has launched its task force for preventing and responding to domestic terrorism. The group is made up of law enforcement, mental health professionals, school officials, faith leaders, and other stakeholders. The group was formed after Governor Kathy Hochul called for each county to develop a plan to confront threats of domestic terrorism that include racially or ethically motivated violent extremists that came after the May Buffalo supermarket killing of 10 people by a young man motivated by racist conspiracy theories. Acting Ulster County Executive Johannes Contreras said, "In the face of growing domestic extremism, the county must do everything in its power to protect its residents." County Task Force, quote, "will complete a comprehensive review of our ability to respond to threats and make recommendations to keep our residents safe," unquote, she said. Sheriff Juan Figueroa said his department is prepared to work with county leadership, community partners, and others to prevent the rise of domestic terrorism. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
The Troy Record reports about Albany County's proposed $768.8 million budget for next year. That is a proposed 5.9% increase over last year's budget. Because of new construction and increased valuations on existing real estate, the effective tax rate would be $317 per $1,000 next year, down from $345 per $1,000 this year. McCoy said in a press release, and I quote, "As families continue to struggle with historically high inflation, and as the Federal Reserve looks to continue raising interest rates, we must be prepared for a possible economic downturn in the future. That's why I'm proud to present another fiscally responsible budget plan that holds the line on taxes now for the 10th year in a row without making cuts to our workforce or the innovative programs and services that our residents rely on each day," end quote. Now the proposed budget will move through the legislature, beginning with the Audit and Finance Committee annual review of the budget, beginning at 5:30 p.m. on October 19th. Read the full story in the Troy Record.
The Times Union has been named a newspaper of distinction by the Journalists Association of New York, the successor organization to the State Associated Press Association. In addition to winning the top honor in its circulation class, the Albany-based Hearst Communications paper also took home 10 first-place awards at an award ceremony held on October 15th in Saratoga Springs. The Newspaper of Distinction Award is judged on the submission of editions for 3 days over the course of the calendar year. The three reviewed by judges included investigative work such as the month-long examination of potential structural flaw on the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, coverage of COVID-19 on campus, and a, quote, city divided, unquote, a deep look at the impact of redlining on Albany. The editions also included special sections devoted to Black History Month and the one-year anniversary of the arrival of coronavirus in the Capital Region. The paper's first-place wins range from headline writing and photography to arts coverage and the TimesUnion.com website, which won for Best Digital Presence. Quote, the range of awards won by the newsroom for its 2021 work demonstrates the Times Union's rich talent and commitment to journalism with impact and style, unquote, Editor-in-Chief Casey Seiler said. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Paul Kirby is reporting for the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation's electric supply prices are 4 times higher than they were 4 months ago. The current price per kilowatt hour from Central Hudson is now 16.93 cents. In June, the cost was 4.18 cents per kilowatt hour. But Central Hudson's natural gas prices have gone down. On October 3rd, Central Hudson was charging 78.8 cents per 100 cubic feet, down from 97.8 cents per 100 cubic feet. The utility said, and I quote, a number of international, national, and regional forces to continue to create volatility from month to month within the energy supply markets, end quote. Anthony Campagnoli, Senior Vice President of Customer Services and Gas Operations, said, and I quote, we understand rising supply prices can create confusion and stress around utility bills for our customers, and we are working closely with our regulators to find ways to keep them as low as possible, end quote. Central Hudson is under investigation by the Public Service Commission and a Senate committee for billing practices and complaints about customer bills. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast, which we start out with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the Mobil in Cairo has gas for $3.55 a gallon. That's the lowest price there. Then we look at the air quality forecast, which is considerably down from Sunday. It's down to a 20, and that's in the good range. The UV index is also down from Sunday. It's just a 2 on Monday, down from a 3, which was in the moderate range, on Sunday. National Weather Service in Albany says Monday that showers are likely. There's a 70% chance of rain, mainly after 10 a.m., with cloudy skies, a high of 55, and a south wind around 6 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Monday night, again, a 60% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm with cloudy skies and a low around 38, a southwest wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high of 50 and a south wind 3 to 6 miles per hour and a low around 32 Tuesday night. Wednesday, the forecast is also for sunny skies with a high of 50 and a low around 33. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
A one, a two, a three.
Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM on Monday, October 17th. It's part of our WGXC Fall Pledge Drive, our Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we're deciding whether to renew our lease on our FM tower and continue broadcasting on 90.7 FM or not. We need some sustaining supporters to make contributions to continue broadcasting on FM. We want to make sure that local teenagers are heard all the way to Pittsfield, and local senior citizens are heard all the way to Prattsville, and out into Schoharie and Delaware counties, and in western Connecticut, and northern Ulster and Dutchess counties. And we want you to make that contribution today. We need your help in particular. That's right. You should go to wgxc.org/donate. Make a difference in your community. Raise all boats, as community radio is something that helps everybody in the community. Nonprofits get interviewed and featured. Local businesses are mentioned and profiled. And the news is presented in a way that you can help make voting decisions each election season. And more is all at 90.7 FM. You've got music from around the corner and around the world on the radio, your friends and neighbors at 90.7 FM. Please make a difference today at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. On the weekends, you can also visit the Boom and Bloom record store in East Durham, and throughout the week, you can make a donation at Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill, or at John Doe Books and Records in Hudson. Or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. Make a difference in your community and make sure FM continues to have one space on the dial, 90.7 FM, is open to the public.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations. It's part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including the WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to wgxc.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm.
Next time you find yourself using a rideshare, make it more interesting. Ask the driver to put on 90.7 FM, WGXC Acra, radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alana Medlock of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We've got a pledge drive going on, and we are in need of your support to help renew the lease on our broadcast tower. That tower is a very important factor in our broadcasts. In fact, just using the word broadcast implies that we have a tower. You may not listen to much terrestrial radio at home, but I'll bet you do in your car. We have a very large listenership that tunes us in while they're driving. So in order to keep that going, we need our tower. Help us out. Give us a call. Donate. Go to WGXC.org/donate and become a sustaining member. We would love that.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to WGXC.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live. It's fresh. It's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them?
You're tuned to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. And wherever you are, that's where we are. I'm Eva Wartell. And Fella called his compound, his community, and what he was building, the Kalakuta Republic. Right now we've got the Akoya Afrobeat Ensemble with Taking It Back from their 2016 album Under the Tree on Afrobomb. And just so you know, also on the menu this week here at WGXC, we're in the midst of our Fall 2022 Tower Power Pledge Drive, running from October 12th to the 28th. We need your help to renew WGXC's FM tower lease. The reason for this pledge drive is that later this year we're going to be faced with a decision about whether WGXC's FM signal is financially viable enough to renew our lease for another 5 years. The current lease expires in 2023. Yes, maintaining our FM signal is a major expenditure, but we believe that occupying a space on the terrestrial radio dial for local voices and experimental content is important. We're committed to keeping WGXC on the FM airwaves, but we cannot do this without the help of our listeners. And so, our goal is to secure additional sustaining supporters toward the ultimate goal of $5,000 in monthly contributions, which will allow us to end our traditional pledge drives like this. That goal is within our grasp if we can add a total of $1,250 in monthly donations during this drive. So, if you can spare 17 cents a day, $5 a month, to become a sustaining supporter, 34 cents a day, $10 a month, whatever you can give, we can use it. Go towards keeping WGXC on the FM dial. We got a new tower. We've got a brand new tower, and we are solar powered and people powered. We are listener supported, solar powered, hands on community radio for open ears and open minds and open hearts. And that's what we're all about here. Open ears, open minds, and open hearts. So you can go online to WGXC.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. What they think is for our country.
If you are listening to us here and you are in the region, the Hudson Valley region, you can find right here in Catskill, Spike's Record Whack, where you can make your donation, even if it's a one-time donation, or if you want to continue as a sustaining supporter, we have a place where you can do that locally right there in Catskill. And also, of course, you have the John Doe Books and Records in Hudson, and Boom and Bloom Records and Flowers. Boom and Bloom and Flowers in East Durham, where you can walk in, and there is a box there where you can contribute your support. You can play your part in supporting community radio. You know, you can see what happens when communities don't come together to do to support each other. You can see the chaos that's created. But I don't expect that to come from our listeners, because they've been with us, and we know we've been doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we invite you to come over this Saturday, the 22nd. It's coming from noon to 6 to drop in for a tour of the property, including the WGXC Aqua Studio and site specific property installations. You can see, you know, people, when it comes to managing, they know how to turn a dollar and how to stretch a dollar
to something positive,
to make something positive for the benefit of the community. So if you like something, you support something. And you know, by piti, pa, shish.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
You know what? Let's drink to a victory on November 8th. Like nothing we've ever seen.
Republican and Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake toasted to victory at a rally Saturday, but during a Sunday interview with CNN, Lake refused to say whether she would accept her election results. Lake told CNN she is going to win the election and accept that result. Lake is considered an election denier who promotes former President Trump's false claims about the 2020 election. She is locked in a tight race with her Democratic opponent, Katie Hobbs, Arizona's current Secretary of State.
Because if you believe this is an era for a new group of leaders serving Iowa and not the other way around, you belong with this campaign. Yes!
A new poll shows Iowa's Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Mike Franken is still unknown to more than a third of Iowans, but his race against Republican incumbent Senator Chuck Grassley is tightening. A new Des Moines Register MediaCom Iowa poll shows Franken trailing Grassley by just 3 percentage points. At age 89, Grassley is seeking his 8th term in the Senate.
I need you to stand up and lift your voice up every single moment until we get yes on Amendment 1. Yes on Amendment 1.
Becky Pringle, president of the National Education Association, the nation's largest labor union, rallied supporters of public education in Massachusetts. Voters there will soon decide the fate of a proposed tax on million-dollar incomes, with the revenue to go to public transportation and education. In Nevada, supporters of abortion rights are backing candidates who support filibuster reform, so federal legislation can be considered to reaffirm a woman's right to choose. Caroline Fredrickson with the Brennan Center for Justice says the filibuster allows small states to block popular legislation.
And what is set up is an institution that is profoundly obstructive to the desires of the vast majority of Americans. And right now, that's for democracy and to ensure that women can make choices about their bodies.
Supporters of the filibuster rule say changing it could backfire on Democrats should Republicans win a majority next month. At least 30 people were injured and 4 killed in mass shootings from New York to Colorado this weekend. This follows the mass shooting by a 15-year-old last Thursday in North Carolina, which left 5 people dead. The Gun Violence Archive, an online database of gun violence incidents, has recorded 534 mass shootings in the U.S. so far this year. I'm Catherine Carley for the Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Democracy advocacy groups raised the alarm last week with social media companies, citing a lack of enforcement against misinformation and disinformation on their platforms. Such posts continue to undermine confidence in our elections. Common Cause, the Leadership Conference, Unidos U.S., Asian Americans Advancing Justice, and several other groups issued a letter to Facebook, Google, YouTube, Twitter, and others, noting that over 100 primary winners support false claims of election fraud, and 60% of Americans have 2020 election deniers on their ballot. Disinformation about the 2020 election is being used to undermine confidence in the 2022 midterms, but recent reporting shows that Meta and Twitter have done little to enforce their policies. News outlets reported earlier this summer that Meta intends to close its CrowdTangle unit, which runs software third-party partners use to monitor disinformation. Not only are the groups pushing for more stringent enforcement of the platform's current rules, they are also asking for the platforms to adopt changes as to how they screen for disinformation. Meta did announce in September that political advertising would not be allowed after November 1st, a week before the election. Articles and groups taking action are linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, democracy is not something we have, it's something we do. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
One of the reasons you might consider going to wgxc.org/donate during our fall pledge drive, which is going on now through October 28th, is our live performances and broadcasts from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. We broadcast from all kinds of local venues and performance spots and stages, but we have a regular setup at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And almost every one of their shows has a webcast that's available at wgxc.org. If you click on the Listen button, scroll to the bottom, you'll see a bunch of different web streams that change all the time because sometimes our programmers have extra shows and you can just find them online at wgxc.org. If you click on the Listen button or go to wgxc.org/listen, you'll find all sorts of extra web streams besides just the WGXC web stream. There's all kinds of things to listen to, including almost every show from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill has a live web stream. And we play them back on the air sometimes. They're archived online, and you can listen to them live if you can't make it to the show in person. So this is one reason you might go to wgxc.org/donate and make a difference in your community today during our WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. It's wgxc.org/donate. You can make a difference today. And you can hear things like Sunday, October 16th, two of the world's best drummers, Tatsuya Nakatani, who lives in New Mexico, and Bobby Previtt, who lives in Columbia County, performed at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. First, let's hear an excerpt of Tatsuya Nakatani's solo performance, and then we'll hear the duo of Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing together Sunday, October 16th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Thank you. That was a solo performance from Tatsuya Nakatani from a solo performance at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th. He performed later in a duo with Bobby Previtt. We'll hear an excerpt of that in just a moment, but we're reminding you that this is the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. And if you can make a difference in your community, we would appreciate that at wgxc.org/donate. Go online to wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining supporter for just 17 cents a day or $5 a month. You can ensure that WGXC will renew its lease on its tower and keep our antenna up there so that we'll be broadcasting for many more years on 90.7 FM. Right now, the staff at the station has to make a decision if we can afford to be on that big, powerful antenna tower or if we have to take our antenna off the tower. And we'd like to keep it on. We think you appreciate having local voices beamed all the way out to Pittsfield and past Prattsville into Schoharie and Delaware counties and down into western Connecticut and northern Ulster and northern Dutchess counties and most of Greene and Columbia counties and almost all of southern Albany and southern Rensselaer counties. If you want to vote for that sort of coverage from local community voices, then make a donation today at wgxc.org/donate. You can make a difference in your community, and your community radio station is a way to empower all sorts of different organizations and activists and community members who are trying to do something good in the neighborhood and make some change. And we highlight that on the radio here and let you talk about it at wgxc.org. Now let's get back to the show and hear an excerpt of Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing together in a dual drum setting at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from a live web stream at wgxc.org from Sunday, October 16th.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Kara Durham's High School's National Honor Society is holding the Fall Festival, a flea market and trunk sale fundraiser with food and fun. The festival will be held on October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Kara Durham Elementary School. Money raised benefits the Kara Durham school community and clubs. For more information, contact by email amanoli@karadurham.org or ws003@karadurham.org. For information and inquiries about being a vendor, contact ek007@karadurham.org. Participate and have fun while raising money for the school.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And breaking news now with Dave Pablo from Lights Out Norway. On October 12th, and really it only surfaced yesterday in the headlines at the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and the Commission and Commissioner Basil Sigos and Attorney General Letitia James today, that day, filed a lawsuit against Norlite to force the company to stop polluting the air with contaminants from its Cohoes facility. So welcome, David. Isn't this good news?
It is good news, but there's a lot to unpack with the complaint that the Attorney General's office has filed. And so our group and the community at large, I think, are taking a while to digest what's in there.
But is it enough? Is there momentum to pressure authorities even more so eventually shut down the facility?
Well, I would hope that the end result is that the Norlite facility is shut down because what a lot of people who have been living in the area for decades know is that they've seen this before. Where the Attorney General's office or the DEC or the EPA file a complaint against Norlite that sounds very good, looks very good on paper, and ends in a simple financial settlement. And then Norlite basically reverts back to its normal practices within a short period of time, and the people around the area suffer.
You know, this has been going on since, what, 1992, something like that? Some ridiculous amount of time that there's been struggles between the DEC and the community and Norlite.
I would have to say it goes back way before then. I mean, Norlite has been there since 1956. They began burning hazardous waste sometime in the late 70s or early 80s. In terms of the fugitive dust that this complaint primarily addresses, yes, you can find evidence in past complaints, fines, et cetera, dating back to 1990. But that in itself is a lesson that it's imperative that the community at large get involved with this and force the governor to step in and force Norlite to be closed, because you see the same patterns over and over and over again. The fugitive dust problems, the health problems, the noise problems, the smells, et cetera. And Norlite basically takes these steps each time. Sometimes they plant trees to block the dust, which is completely ineffective. Sometimes they, you know, water down their piles or reduce their piles for some period of time. But again, they always revert and they always, you know, go back to things that are really essentially killing people.
Well, I know that the organization Lights Out Norlite, right? They've been working on this for at least 3 years, and been really interesting to find out what it is actually they do burn, and where do they get it? I mean, I know it's to produce aggregate, but apparently the amount of ash produced from their burning of aggregate making. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. So yes. Basically, for people who aren't familiar with Norlite, what they do is they mine for shale on site. They send that through a pair of rotary kilns that exposes the shale to high heat, and that process creates aggregate. Basically, the shale melts down, gets bubbly, comes out as aggregate. That process also produces silicate as a byproduct, and if you breathe that, it will cause silicosis and other forms of lung cancer. So they fuel those kilns with hazardous waste, and much of that waste may contain heavy metals like arsenic, lead, mercury. That all comes out at the other end as well, and Norlite has been using an exemption called the Bevel Amendment to mix the contents of that pollution control system, all those heavy metals, et cetera, in with their aggregate. They call it block mix, and if you look at the figures in the Attorney General's complaint, they're saying that basically Norlite produces 92,000 tons per year of block mix. Okay, so that's like at least 88% fly ash, which is, again, based on burning of hazardous waste. And in terms of the actual aggregate that they produce, if you add all the different types of aggregate together, it's a little bit more than the block mix, but really it's almost equal. So it's a crazy amount of hazardous waste that they're producing. It's in big piles. It blows any way the wind blows, and it's a major problem.
Well, when it blows into the wind, it's like microscopic bits, right? I mean, we can't see them all the time. Or is there something visible that we can see?
That's a great question. So, like, if you're at Saratoga sites and you have your car parked there overnight, you will immediately find that it's covered with dust, okay? And so some of this dust you can see. In the report, the Attorney General's office says that there is approximately 56 tons per year of fugitive dust that comes off of Norlite, okay?
What? But 60 what?
56 tons, okay?
Tons?
Yes. Okay, but in that report, they also say something which is completely untrue, which is that the dust from Norlite basically does not travel any further than a mile away from there. And Dave Walker, Professor Emeritus from Columbia, has found Norlite's dust more than 4 miles away, downwind, basically, of Norlite. And I have talked to a series of air pollution specialists who have told me that the dust, especially the smaller sizes of the dust, can travel not just for, you know, miles, but tens of miles, hundreds of miles.
Okay, now, I know that recently there have been 70 families that lived in Saratoga Sites. That's the name of the housing facility next to Norlite, right?
Yes.
And I'm not sure, but I understand that there may be some concern about whether they have been inhaling or breathing in into their lungs carcinogens.
Oh, yes.
Now, these 70 families, right, have been moved through HUD. HUD has moved them? Go on, please tell us.
The way that stands right now is that HUD did something which is almost unprecedented, which is they committed to closing Saratoga sites, to moving those people to safety. But though a lot of people at Saratoga sites have moved out, there are still many, many people who live there to this day. And ironically, it's the ones who are most vulnerable that are stuck there for health reasons, for mental illness reasons, or because, you know, there are multiple children involved, and it's very hard for sizable families to move even with a Section 8 certificate because the landlords, they either don't want the certificates or they try and take advantage of them, or, you know, there's a lot of different factors.
And there's not a lot of facilities to house people from the government right now.
This is true. And I'll give you one example that honestly breaks my heart. And I've worked on a documentary about Norlite and the situation over there for a couple of years. I've interviewed more than a dozen families in Saratoga sites and additional families outside of that area. One of the first people that I interviewed was this woman, Deborah, who, I mean, she's been smoking most of her life, so this is a factor in it, but she's also been living facing Norlite less than, you know, 300 feet from their kilns for a good 20-plus years. And when I knocked on her door the other day to see if she would be interested in talking to some of the networks when the AG's action was announced, and she answered the door, I could see immediately that she's lost a ton of weight, and she told me she has lung cancer. So it's still undetermined, you know, what stage that cancer is at, but, the people that I interviewed there, so many of them, they have kids. They say, oh, yeah, our kids have asthma now. They never had asthma before they moved there. Other people have thyroid issues. Other people have multiple myeloma. So, the cause and effect is there, even if it's only anecdotal at this point.
It seems a little peculiar, doesn't it, that they will move people out of their homes, citizens and families out of what they've been living in for, what, some of them 30 years, and yet they'll allow Norlite to stand. So it seems the priorities maybe not quite so much with the citizens of the country or the community, but more towards business, no?
Yes, and this is a key problem with the way that the DEC and, by extension, the AG are handling this. They're basically allowing Norlite to continue to operate. They have the option, when filing a suit like this, of saying that Norlite, it's unsafe for them to operate and to close them down for the length of this suit, okay? They're not doing that, nor are they essentially warning people who live in the area that this dust is ever-present, which it is. And they're allowing Norlite to continue to operate using the terms of their old air permit, which expired 2 years ago. Those terms constantly release toxic dust into the air.